A name is not just a name. A name tells a story. A name gives purpose. My name is Father Meyer. My name is more than just a name. My name reveals who I am. I'm called Father. And I am. I have all of you as my children. And my bride is the church. And I love her very, very much. When I was younger, when I was in college, my name was Oscar. Not because that's the name my parents gave me, but because of Oscar Meyer Baloney. And my teammates in college called me Oscar, so that became my name. People didn't know me as John, they knew me as Oscar. When I was younger, my name was Gapster. Not because I shopped at the Gap, but because of this. Names are more than just names. Names reveal who a person is. Names reveal what a person does. In today's verse reading, Abraham was given his name. When Abraham was born, his name was not Abraham, his name was Abram. Yet God himself changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And Abraham means a father of many nations. And Abraham was. Abraham, prior to being named Abraham, when he was just Abram, had no children. And he was old in years. Yet finally God gave him his son Isaac. And ultimately, Abraham became the father of the whole Jewish nation. Thousands and thousands of descendants. Because his name meant something. Why are we here tonight? Why is the group from Indianapolis together here tonight with the students and the teachers and the faculty from Resurrection School? Why? Ultimately, because someone had a name change. Like Abraham, someone in the New Testament had their name change. There was a man named Simon. And in the Greek language, Simon meant a reed that blew back and forth in the wind. And yet Simon, and there's actually a stained glass window of him, the first one on your left, if you ever want to check it out, on the light, back there. Simon confessed Peter as the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon Peter saying, Simon saying this, our Lord looked at him and he said, from now on, you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. In Latin, and Latin is a little cooler, so follow me here if you're in the Latin. Tu es Petrus, et super hunc Petron. Now for those of you who know Spanish, you got like feminine, masculine, and neuter. Tu es Petrus, you are Peter, et super hunc Petron, and upon this rock. Look at the word Petrus and Petros. Exact same, except one's masculine and one's feminine. Petrus, Petron. What is our Lord saying? He's changing Simon's name from a reed that blows in the wind to the rock that the church will be built upon. That's why we're here tonight. We're here tonight because a man received a name and names mean something. We're here tonight because 265 Peters later, we have a pope called Pope Benedict XVI, who's awesome. We're here because for the past 2,000 years, we've been led by the rock. We're here because we're united in one faith. We're here because we believe one thing, and that is that Jesus Christ died and rose again and founded a church on the rock of Peter. And it all happens with a name change. That's why we're here. Individually, why are you here? I would say it's also because of a name change. We all have our own individual names. You might be Stacy or Becky or Trixie or Dave or Vic or Jim or Todd or whatever your name is. But all of us bear the exact same name. All of us are Christians. the name Christian. And we call ourselves Christians, but do we have any clue what it means to be a Christian? Do we have any idea what the word actually means? It's very interesting. We are Christians, which of course means that we believe in Christ. But notice how we don't call ourselves Trinitarians. We don't call ourselves Jesusins, or like Fatherins, or like Holy Spiritans. Or we call ourselves Christians. Why? Well, because Jesus is the Christ. And what is the Christ? Well, this is a big language, huh? We go to Greek. The word Christ is based off of the Greek word Christos. And what does that word mean? It means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. What does that mean that we choose to call ourselves not Jesus-y, but we call ourselves Christians? It means that we ourselves appoint ourselves anointed. It means that we ourselves, taking the name Christian, are saying that somehow we're anointed. We follow the Christ, the anointed one. And somehow we believe we're body, we're members of his body. We actually are anointed as well. Now follow this out. This is going to be pretty awesome. Now, in the Old Testament, there were three types of people that were anointed. Three people. Three different types. Priest, prophet, and king. Three different types of people anointed in the Old Testament. Priest, prophet, and king. In fact, in the day of your baptism, if you were baptized as an infant, and you were wearing a cubital dress, whether you were a guy or a girl, you wore dresses on the day of your baptism. The priest took a bunch of oil, put it all over your head, and he said, as Christ is anointed priest, prophet, and king, may you share in his sonship. By our baptism, we share in Christ, who is priest, prophet, and king. Now let's look in the Old Testament real quick. In the Old Testament, the first person to be anointed was the priest. And there's this man named Aaron, he's the brother of Moses. And he was anointed. And he was anointed as a priest. Now, what do? Priests offer sacrifice. Okay? Jesus, of course, is a priest because he offers a sacrifice and he's also the victim. He's the perfect priest. He offers and also offers his own very body. And, of course, it's the perfect offering because offering God's flesh and blood is pretty darn perfect. So we have Jesus as a priest, fulfillment of the imperfect priesthood of the Old Testament. We also have prophets. There's a prophet named Elijah who then anoints his successor, Elisha. And Elisha is anointed because he's a prophet. What do prophets do? Prophets don't so much predict the future as we often think of prophets as call people back to repentance. That's mainly what prophets do. They call people back to repentance. What did Christ do as the perfect prophet? He called people back to repentance. The first words of Christ after his baptism, repent and believe in the gospel. Christ is the perfect prophet. Christ is also the perfect king. Priest, prophet, and king. In the Old Testament, David was anointed king. And David was the greatest of all the kings in the Old Testament. Christ, of course, is king because he rules on high. But this is where we need to clarify what it means to be a king. We often have in our minds, sometimes a king who sits in a big royal throne and dictates to people and says, do this and do that and bring me some more grapes and keep the fan going and, you know, rules and governs. But that's not a good king. The kings and queens that our church has canonized, St. Elizabeth of Hungary, St. Louis, King of France, served their people. The perfect king is a servant. And what was Christ? Look at him on the cross. There is a king. Look at Christ as he washes the feet of his apostles 1 week from tonight on Holy Thursday. There is a king. Christ, the anointed one, fulfills all of those who were anointed in the Old Testament in perfection. And you want to know what? We're called to do the same. We, as Christians, who receive a new name as Christians, are called to be priest, prophet, and king. Remember this morning at morning prayer, we all sang sanctuary? What happens in sanctuaries? What happens in temples? Sacrifices are offered. Do you not realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? We are called to offer sacrifice. All of us. We're to offer our very lives as a sacrifice. Not for the 110 that are here from Indianapolis, and some of them we've been doing for the past week. For y'all who are down here all the time, you guys have been living a life of sacrifice. When we united to Christ upon the cross, when we live our lives as Christians, that sacrifice has meaning. That suffering has meaning. Without it, you want to know what? Let's pack up our bag and go north. But with Christ and being a Christian, we have a reason to suffer, a reason to sacrifice, a reason to work out our salvation with Christ. Because we are priests. Women, all y'all are priests. Every single one of you. Because of your baptism. You'll never be ordained, but that's okay. Live in the priesthood of the baptized, believe me, I'm still trying to figure it out. Prophets, all of them are prophets. Look at this week. 110 from Indianapolis. We have been prophets to so many people. How many countless stories do we have of people that we brought hope to? Of people that we brought the good news to? Just by serving, just by teaching, just by saying God bless you on the street. How many people gain hope or return to the Lord because of the goodness that they see in each and every one of you? We are called to be prophets, to bring good news to others. For y'all that are down here, you're prophets to us. The fact that you're here, the fact that you haven't given up on your faith, that you haven't given up on God, that preaches to us volumes on what it is to be faithful, what it is to turn to the Lord. We are called to be priests, we are called to be prophets, and my dear people, we are called to be kings as Christians. We are called to be servants. We are not called to rule. We are not called to dictate. We're not called to make laws, to make lives of people difficult. No. We are called to serve radically. For the 110, we're called to paint, we're called to scrub. We're called to inhale too much bleach off the walls and like headaches and sick. We're called to break our backs and do weightlifting equipment. We're called to be kings. To serve God's people. And for y'all down here, thank you for serving us. Thank you for serving us by allowing us to serve you. Thank you for opening your church and your home and your school to us so that we can be servants. A name is more than just a name. A name tells us who a person is and what they are about. We're Christians. We are Christians. The next time you meet somebody on the street, they're like, "Hi, what's your name?" You should say, "Hi, I'm a Christian. And my name happens to be John." You laugh, but what's more important? The fact that you're a Christian? Or the fact that your name is Betsy or Timmy or Susie or Jimmy or Bob? What's more important? A name means a lot. May we seek to live our name. Just as Abraham strove through faith and through grace to be the father of all of Israel, just as Peter strove with grace and faith to be the rock of the church, eventually giving his whole entire life and being crucified on the cross upside down, and we give our lives with faith and grace by being priest, prophet, and king. By living our lives as anointed Christians. A name is more than just a name. A name defines who a person is. May we seek to live our name, the name of Christians.